Mini episode 28 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the four Lounge mini-episodes that comprise the fifth edition of the FDH Pantheon. I am joined by FDH Lounge dignitaries Tim Faust and Kyle Ross. The FDH Pantheon is our celebration of the best from all walks of life. These mini-episodes also bring our total amount of FDH Lounge programming to 500 hours over the course of the show's history, dating back to January 14, 2007. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. Here are the members of the Pantheon. The first class inducted on June 20, 2008 is as follows. Best President, Ronald Reagan. Best Country Other Than the U.S., Canada. Best Motion Picture, The Godfather. Best Thespian, Kevin Costner. Best Female Bombshell, Raquel Welch. Best Musical Performer or Group, Bon Jovi. Best TV Show, All in the Family. Best TV or Movie Cartoon Character, Bugs Bunny. Best Comic Book Character, Superman. Best Pro Wrestler, Ric Flair. Best Basketball Player, Michael Jordan. Best Football Player, Jim Brown. Best Race Car Driver from Any Circuit, Richard Petty. Best Hockey Player, Wayne Gretzky. Best Baseball Pitcher, Nolan Ryan. Best Baseball Hitter, Babe Ruth. Personally, I should note before I go any further that I do not stand behind the results of the voting. Like all of the voters, I cast a vote for some of the winners, and in some cases, I'm quite horrified by how the results manifested themselves. But discussion and controversy are all part of the fun of the Pantheon. The second class, inducted on July 18, 2009, is as follows. Best Pro Sports Coach or Manager, Paul Brown. Best Sporting Event, the Super Bowl. Best Fantasy Sport, football. Best Olympic Sport, hockey. Best Sportscaster Play-by-Play, Vin Scully. Best Sportscaster Color Commentator, John Madden. Best Sports Movie, Bull Durham. Best Movie Villain, Joker, the Heath Ledger version. Best Pro Wrestling Manager, Bobby Heenan. Best Video Game, Non-Sports, Grand Theft Auto. Best Musical Guilty Pleasure, Phil Collins' Air Drum Solo to In the Air Tonight. Best Non-U.S. City, Toronto. Best U.S. City, New York City. Best Political Scandal, Watergate. Best Seinfeld Episode, The Soup Nazi. Best TV Commercial Character, Mr. Whipple. The third class, inducted February 17, 2010, is as follows. Best Sports Writer, Terry Pluto. Best Underappreciated Athlete, Kenny Lofton. Best Heavyweight Boxer, Muhammad Ali. Best Non-Heavyweight Boxer, Sugar Ray Leonard. Best MMA Competitor, Chuck Liddell. Best Single Sporting Event or Game Ever, Miracle on Ice. Best Sports General Manager or Executive, Bill Polian. Best Sports Stadium or Arena, Wrigley Field. Best Sports Video Game, Madden Football. Best Pro Wrestling Tag Team, The Road Warriors. Best Late Night Talk Show Host, Johnny Carson. Best TV Drama or Comedy Character, Cosmo Kramer. Best Foreign Cuisine, Italian. Best Comedian, Richard Pryor. Best Live Musical Performer, Bruce Springsteen. Best Sandwich, Corned Beef Sandwich from Goodman's Sandwich Inn in Cleveland. And the fourth class of the Pantheon, inducted November 10, 2010, is as follows. The Best Super Bowl, Steelers-Cardinals, Super Bowl 43. Best Comeback Game, regardless of sport, Bills-Oilers, January 3, 1993 playoff game. Best Single Season Pro Team, regardless of sport, 1995-96 Chicago Bulls. Best Pro Franchise, regardless of sport, New York Yankees. Best College Coach, regardless of sport, Mike Krzyzewski. Best Sports Tradition, Handshake Line after a Stanley Cup Playoff Series. Best College Football Program, Ohio State. Best Genre of Motorsports, the Sprint Cup. Best Pro Wrestling Monster Bad Guy, The Undertaker. Best Movie Franchise Combining Original and Sequels, Star Wars. Best Innovative TV Series, 24. Best Song, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Best Continent, North America. Best Fast Food Meal or Sandwich, Mr. Hero Cheeseburger. Best American Tradition, Independence Day. Best Animal or Fish in a Zoo or Aquarium, Dolphin. Additionally, we recognize what we call the Pantheon within the Pantheon. It consists of inductees who won their category with more than 50% of the total vote. They are as follows. From the second class of inductees, football as best fantasy sport. From the third class of inductees, Madden as best sports video game and Muhammad Ali as best heavyweight boxer. From the fourth class of inductees, North America as best continent. John Madden is the only two-time inductee of the Pantheon, winning for best color commentator and best sports video game. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcast as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the fifth class of the FDH Pantheon. All right, Rick Morris, along with Tim Faust and Kyle Ross, we've got part one of the sports categories here in the fifth Pantheon, the three that we're doing in this segment, clutch performer regardless of sport, comeback by an athlete regardless of sport, and motorsports event. We had 27 people that voted overall in this. There were 23 votes cast in this first category, clutch performer regardless of sport, and we'll just run through all of these working our way up to the top. Here were some of the ones, and this was pretty random, guys. We did get a lot of random possibilities in these ones here. We go from a vote for Pele to a vote for Abby Wambach. Our good friend Bob Glassman, who always likes to get himself over as a comedian in these things, voted for LeBron James. We had a vote for Tim Brady, which I believe that was yours, Tim. Was Tom Brady.
No, I wouldn't have voted.
That was not yours.
I don't think so.
That was, oh, Tim D. Tim Dustin voted for him. Okay, where's Tim? Oh, you didn't vote in this one. Okay, my bad.
I didn't vote in best clutch performer.
You did not vote in this one.
Come
on. You took a blank. No.
Technical difficulty.
You did not. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at Tim Dustin's vote. His was for Tom Brady. Yours was blank. We got Reggie Jackson got a vote.
I told you I should have checked my ballot before we came on the air here.
This is what happens. Reggie Jackson got a vote, two votes for Mariano Rivera, two votes for Larry Bird, 2.5 votes for Joe Montana. That's courtesy of Nate Noy. I cast a full vote for Joe Montana. He cast a half vote and a half vote for the winner with 11.5 votes cast, Michael Jordan, in this category. Here's the best part of it, though. We have the Pantheon within the Pantheon. Anybody that goes above 50% of all votes cast, because of Nate going half a vote for Michael Jordan, it's only exactly 50%, 11.5 out of 23. Nate keeps Michael Jordan.
Wait,
out
so
of the
Tiger Woods didn't get any votes here?
Tiger Woods did not get any for best clutch performer, regardless of sport.
Too many prisoners of the moment, I've always noticed, in this voting.
You think so?
It could, realistically, I mean, if you look at his whole body of work, he's right. He should have been absolutely. Yeah. He deserves more votes than Abby Wambach.
Well.
Okay. All right. Here, let me just start ripping. It really.
Steve Callis. You can thank him for that one.
Pele?
Yes. Russ Cohen voted for Pele.
I'm on board with Pele, though. I mean, as a nominee, I mean, I would. I have to believe. I'm going to go check. Rick, when I go home, I'm going to check my email.
Okay.
I'm about to not.
But I would say, I mean, Jordan's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. To me, this is one of those ones that you knew who was going to win when you did it, right?
Yeah. I don't know, though. I cast the first vote. It was for Joe Montana. I thought Joe Montana would make a strong run.
Yeah, I could see him easily being top
five. In the top three or top five. But, I mean, when you're talking winner, I don't think there's any. But I'm surprised that no one voted for Tiger Woods here.
Nobody voted for Tiger Woods.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah. Nobody voted for him.
Too many women voting.
There were
not enough
few
women voting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If we had Perkins waitresses more strongly represented in the subset,
moons over my hammy. Yes.
Yes, he would have done much better. But Michael Jordan, yeah, he did better than I thought he was going to do in this. I was surprised,
really?
And he came. I didn't think anybody would make a run at better than half. But he got exactly half, and like I said, thanks to Nate's little stunt of half Montana, half Jordan, he keeps Jordan out of the Pantheon within the Pantheon.
I didn't know that was legal, by the way.
The brilliance.
I didn't know if we could split our votes like that.
The aforementioned brilliance that keeps him out of out of that range.
Yes, you got to love that one. And
Again, as we did at Pantheon 4, where when we did that from Harpo's, where we didn't have the cameras there either, but in keeping with it, I still had the Dundee Award with me here. So I will lift the Dundee Award as we officially induct Michael Jordan into the Pantheon. By the way, second two-time member of the Pantheon. Michael Jordan inducted in Pantheon 1 for Best Basketball Player. The other two-time winner of the Pantheon, Best Color Commentator, and Best Sports Video Game, John Madden. So we have two-time inductees into the Pantheon, gentlemen. And Michael Jordan, but he just misses the Pantheon within the Pantheon.
Did anyone not vote for him for Best Basketball Player?
There were some other...
dumb.
Side note here. Let's since we blew through this first one so quickly, let's explore this. Does this make me a hipster? Because I've been accused of this. Because I'm a historical curmudgeon. I voted for Oscar Robertson. Does that make me a hipster?
No, it makes you a curmudgeon because Oscar Robertson is also a curmudgeon. So I guess
Yes. He is a curmudgeon, yes. But I mean, voted for best baseball hitter. I voted for, we did it where it was counting offense and
Pete
defense.
Rose, so you voted for best baseball hitter?
Well, I voted for Willie Mays in that one. For best baseball pitcher, I voted for Walter Johnson. So are these things making me a hipster?
No, well, baseball's the one sport that the game hasn't changed to a degree where, like, if you look at most all-time lists, they are still flooded with older players. Where if you look at, you know, NFL or NBA, it's guys usually within the last 20, 25, 30 years that make up those lists. So, it makes you wrong. I mean, it doesn't make you're not a hipster. You're just wrong about the NBA one.
All right. Well, what about Bobby Orr? I voted for Bobby Orr for best hockey player. Is
you're
the same
wrong,
kind of
too.
Thing?
Yeah, you're just wrong.
No. But he's a defenseman who completely changed the game the way the game was played. So,
I'm being serious here. Yeah. I'm not busting you, Chaps.
No.
Were you just trying to be contrarian?
No.
Don't you really
these
believe
are the things
that?
I really believe. Okay. Like Bobby Orr, he changed the way. He was a defenseman who led the league in scoring. There'd never been anything like that really before or since. He did his job on the blue line, but was an incredible offensive weapon. I just looked at it and said, how could anybody, even Gretzky, compete with that? And I'm a big Gordie Howe mark. You'd expect me to say Mr. Hockey. But I didn't. So
Rick, a lot of this is, and I know this is by design, mm-hmm. but you might want to mention this as well. Is the flexibility or the how liberal you allow everyone?
Yeah.
You're not defined. I mean, it makes Hall of Fame balloting look or MVP balloting look like it's defined because you really don't have.
Boy,
wait
till you hear some of the other ones here. Wait till you hear some of these other puppies and some of these other categories. Bob Glassman and Chris Galloway are always the guys who really just do that one the most. They really take it the furthest as far as how that goes. But,
so anyway, you think about things like revolutionizing a game or things that they've done. You're not or most championships versus talent versus statistics versus all that kind of stuff. So you're allowing us to all interpret the way we want to.
Exactly. I allow a lot of free rein on this, and that's basically what this is all about. This next one you're going to see incredible variety on as well here. Best comeback by an athlete regardless of sport. This one really runs the gamut. Here's where we start with one vote. One vote for Mario Lemieux. One vote for Greg LeMond. I think that was about a specific race or a couple of races, I guess. Lance Berkman got a vote. Willis Reed got a vote. Lance Berkman is based on the last season. Willis Reed.
Prisoner of the moment, telling you. Some of these people are incapable, I think, of thinking beyond the previous week.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not a big fan of that either.
That might have been my vote. I don't know.
That was actually not. No, you voted for Willis Reed. That was a good one. There was a vote here.
I think he was Goldbricken.
There was a vote for Bob Ojeda from an Indians fan. Vote for Teddy Bruschi. A vote for Paul Lowry at the British Open, I guess, when Vandeveld gave it away.
No, come on, really?
Paul Lowry got a vote, yeah. There was a vote for Ted Williams.
Who even remembers the guy that beat Vandeveld? I mean, really?
Right.
Yeah.
That would be Jeff Mislanich. He voted for him. There was a vote for Ted Williams coming off of WW2. Vote for Tommy John coming off of the surgery. Tommy John, who needed Tommy John surgery.
That's amazing that happened, by the way.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah.
There was a vote for Tito Ortiz. There was one for Reggie White. There was one
Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, I don't know either what that was all about. Our friend Alex Slump voted for that. We'll have to ask him when we see him at the baseball auction in the spring why he voted for Tito Ortiz. Reggie White got one. Randy Couture got one. And I voted for mine is the last of the
Who
the
voted for Couture, Jake Dickman?
That was a new voter, Mark. He voted for him. I voted for, as much as I loathe the Steelers and all things Steeler, Rocky Blyer left part of his leg behind in Southeast Asia and came back to play in a Super Bowl. I felt like I had to vote for Rocky Blyer. So I voted for him. Oh, there was one more with one vote also. It was Muhammad Ali. So these are all the ones that got one vote for best comeback by an athlete regardless of sport. Two votes went to Michael Vick. Yours was one of the two, Kyle. Two votes for Michael Jordan. And now we come to our tie at this point here, our first tie of the evening. Lance Armstrong and Josh Hamilton, three votes apiece. So per the custom of the FDH Lounge Pantheon, the tie gets broken at the table here, and our unilateral second tiebreaker, I have it in my back pocket, Nate Noy's ballot cast in case we still come to a deadlock on that. I look at this, I'm eyeballing it. Between the two, I'm going to say Josh Hamilton. I'm not huge on the other guy.
I believe he's been reduced to the other guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to bury him, and it would be, shall we say, impolitic for me with this show to bury the other guy. But I'm going to vote for Josh Hamilton because he's not the other guy. So there's my vote. How do you go on this, Tim?
No question. I mean, I thought I was going to be in for a fight, and we might be because we haven't heard Kyle yet. But
okay,
you know. A guy that used steroids to come back, come on. I mean, no-brainer Josh Hamilton here. I mean, Lance Armstrong, his comeback's completely tainted as far as I'm concerned.
Never
mind. But yeah. At first I thought when he said a guy who used steroids to come back, you know, I thought he was going to name drop Hamilton. But no, I agree. Let's make it 3-for-3.
All right.
Josh Hamilton is my
pick.
For many of the same reasons you laid out there, Ricky, I think you knew that I was Hamilton actually, coincidentally, is one of the two guys I considered along with Vic.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't look at it necessarily as do I approve of where you're coming back from. I just kind of look, you know, at the depths you were at.
Right.
And to me, you know, Hamilton, I mean, his story's incredible.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's like Todd Marinovich, but with a happy ending.
It is.
You know?
It is. And that's one might have thought it would be the judge not lest you be judged from Kyle Ross.
Yes. And that factors in as well. Make
yes,
no mistake about it. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And I don't want to dismiss what Hamilton did also. I mean, so not only am I anti-Lance Armstrong, but I am pro Josh Hamilton. I think also what impresses me about Josh Hamilton is since he's come back, he has had a few setbacks.
He has.
Yeah, those photos were on there. Yeah, he went out. And it was
And he's admitted it, and he's been a stand-up guy, you know, since his comeback, and I have respect for that.
It was pretty interesting during the World Series when they talked about how he was going to take painkillers. They kind of, like, tap-danced around. Mm-hmm. Remember, they asked about it, like, the other teammate, kind of, like, knocked the microphone and was like, don't you ask those questions.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because I guess there was some real concern in the dugout that if they gave him too many injections that, like, you know,
right.
You know, he would be, like, you know, like, shaking Ron Washington asking for more by the sixth inning, so...
Yeah. Ron Washington. I have to say, I made a very...
I'll never forget that headline on Deadspin the 1 year. What? Manager Ron Washington admits to cocaine use last year, which, let's face it, is pretty awesome.
I made a very regrettable joke during the World Series live blog about that he was going to be having, if they won the World Series, he was going to have somebody load up Johnny B. Badd's glitter gun full of blow and shoot him in the face.
That would have been outstanding.
That would have been,
Poor Ron, he got outmanaged badly, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He really did. I also made a very regrettable joke on the live blog also about Ron Washington, great manager, but I'm not too sure about his 999 tax plan.
Oh, come on.
Is that over the line?
Yeah, yes, so to speak, yes.
Yeah. Nice. Nate Noy, of all people, told me that was too reprehensible for public consumption, so that should have been my first clue. So, but Josh Hamilton makes it. We hoist the Dundee Award and induct Josh Hamilton into the FDH Lounge Pantheon. The last of ours for this first segment here, best motorsports event. And I am really surprised at the outcome of this one. As an open-wheel fan, very heartened. That tells you where this is going. but very surprised. The first one here, I mentioned Bob Glassman before, somebody who likes to put himself over as being the world's greatest comedian. Anything with Danica Patrick was his vote. So when we talk about how open-ended it is in this thing here, we don't mandate that folks take their voting privileges seriously.
Well, he had two half votes then, right? Anything with Danica Patrick?
That's true.
Because she's in two different...
Well, we always take it very literally, so it's not a half vote in either of the ones, but that's a point well taken. We could have gone that way. One vote for ATV / quad / motocross. One vote for dirt bikes. Three votes for just generally the
dirt bikes, like just two people just getting on a dirt bike and racing,
dirt
huh?
Dirt bikes, yeah. Dirt bikes, that was one vote. Three votes for the demolition derby. Just generally speaking, demolition derby. I guess folks are thinking state fairs or what have you. And then we get into the two that got the most votes. The one that had five votes, I pessimistically thought was going to win, the Daytona 500. It did not. 10 votes, and coming very close, since we had 21 total votes cast in this category. By the way, 24 votes in the previous category for best comeback by an athlete regardless of sport, but nobody made a run at half on that one. The Indy 500 makes a strong run at more than half the votes, coming up short with 10 votes out of 21 cast, but ultimately the winner, the Indianapolis 500. Tim, I'm looking to see who yours, and you didn't vote in this one.
I'm not surprised I didn't vote that
And
one.
Kyle, you voted for the Indy 500 as well here, so...
You know, a buddy of mine went there, and it sounded like he had a real good time. That was, you know me, I am not Mr. Motorsports. I groaned when you asked me this category. I was like, Ricky, I don't know anything. It was basically a coin flip between the two, and it came down to the fact that I had a buddy that went to the Indy 500 one time and raved about what a good time it was. So I'm like, it looks like fun. Okay, sure.
Well, you're a trooper for voting in it here. But,
I always, you know me, the power of voting.
Yeah, that's, well, not everybody voted in every category, and you know, it's always funny whenever people force it, though. It's kind of, the reasoning for it is always kind of interesting. I just assumed it was going to be Daytona. I just, and God knows this is the only thing in the last 16 years where open wheel has come out ahead of stock car racing. It's only the 2011 fifth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon that open wheel gets a win here. But 10 votes out of 21 cast, so we induct the Indianapolis 500 as our third entrant here tonight into the FDH Lounge Pantheon.